Okay, we've just seen Transformers.
The movie.
2007.
Yeah, the live-action movie.
Yes. Jones, what were your impressions of it? Like, general impressions?
Just in general, I don't know, I thought it kicked ass. It definitely wasn't perfect. It had a fair layer of cheese on it and everything, but it did what I want a summer movie to do. It entertained me. It had shit blow up. It had humor. And it didn't take itself too seriously.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I would agree. It was entertaining. I think it was probably at least 20 minutes too long.
Yeah, I don't think it was 20 too long, but in the end battle, it started to feel a little lengthy. I'd say maybe 5 to 10 minutes
long. Well, it took them a long time before they really got going.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see any of the Decepticons until, like, probably, like, the last half hour.
Yeah. I didn't really notice, though. I enjoyed all the stuff with the Autobots, and I even, unlike the animated movie, I actually enjoyed the human characters in it for a change. Like, I thought Shia LaBeouf actually did a good job in it, and it's interesting, and I don't know, I thought it did a good job with, like, balancing humor in with the action and stuff like that. Like, there was the part where that dude, the army guy, was, like, in the war zone, and he was trying to call back to the Pentagon or whatever,
and he just had
the cell phone, and he tried to call, and the dude, you know, he hits the operator, of course, and the guy wants, like, the credit card number and all this crap, and they played that really well. You know, it was kind of like throwing humor in where you didn't expect it to be, and
it was nice to see the military fighting the robots and shooting missiles at them that hit and destroyed things.
Yes.
No force fields,
yes.
Or like where they use that laser thing to target that robot in the beginning in the desert.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seemed like that's what the military would do.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to see that instead of just, where's the military, or our missiles are bouncing off.
Yeah, they just hit these magical force fields. You know,
Will Smith is the military.
Yeah, and I liked how they handled it where, you know, certain weapons didn't work, but then they figured out ones that did and, you know, kind of altered their methods based on that. And the, you know, they didn't go through a lot of the crap where, you know, they wanted to attack all of them. You know, they actually kind of understood that the Autobots were trying to help and for the most part, you know. And so that stuff was all handled pretty well. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
There were some good, you know, good parts, too, like where the Autobots were around Shia's house and all that. Like, that played pretty funny, too, where they were, like, trying to hide and things. And so
that was all right. Again, I think it could have gotten going faster. The main plot was a little weak with the glasses and all that. I mean,
that was pretty much bullshit. Yeah, that was a little wanky, but, you know, I can accept that in this sort of movie.
That's true. I mean, it is, in the end, a movie for kids.
Yeah. And it's, you know, based on a 20-some-year-old cartoon. You know, it's not going to be like watching The Fountain or something where you're expecting this, you know, big brain idea living behind it. So,
remember my prediction that it would be Jurassic Park with robots?
Yeah.
I think it was, some parts it was, but
to a certain extent, yeah.
But not as much as it could have been. Or,
you know what I mean? Oh, my boss is calling me. I will call him back. And now somebody's knocking on the door.
Yes?
Are you doing your Transformers review?
Yeah, it won't take us much longer. What's up?
How the hell are you, Dave?
Just doing great.
And Tim.
And Sam.
Yeah, we're just discussing the movie to put on the end of our podcast.
Can we do this?
Sure. Where were we?
I don't know. What were we talking about?
Oh, Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah, the Jurassic Park thing, yes.
Yeah, I like how the robots got damaged. I like how there's missiles. They damaged, I mean, the end of the movie. Of course, they go to that town just so there's something to destroy.
Yeah, I thought that was a little lame how it's like, oh, yeah, like the military guy even is like, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's take it right into the middle of this huge city, this big population center. Like the military would ever do that.
Yes, it's like, what's the easiest extraction point? Oh, a big city.
Yeah. One thing I must say that I did enjoy was actually seeing the Secretary of Defense defend something for a change. There's
that
scene where he had to have a shotgun trying to hold
off.
Oh,
yeah.
So, that was
nice. At the beginning,
I
was like, I hope John Voight isn't the president again, because remember, he was in...
Yeah, I was happy that he was, like, the Secretary of Defense instead of the president, so...
Yeah.
Because that's what I thought he was going to be, was the president. It's
well, but he was the president in Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, that would just be ridiculous. I think it's a bit long, but I think in general people will enjoy it.
Yeah.
What would you give it on a scale of
A to F? I'd give it a B.
I'd give it like a 3 out of 4 for stars or whatever. So
fists.
That's right. Fists, baby. So, which would essentially be about a B. So.
Yeah.
I think if they had managed to cut it a little bit shorter, still kept it just as active, it would have been an A.
Yeah, it took them a long... I mean, the thing is, they spent the same amount of money on the effects. Yeah. You know, that stuff with that, like, blonde computer hacker, you know, she's pretty cute and all, but...
Yeah.
It didn't really do a whole heck of a lot. Or, like, I'm eating these donuts.
Yeah, it had a lot of that cliched shit in it, you know, where it's like, oh...
Michael Bay shit.
Well, not even Michael Bay shit, just cliched shit in general with, you know, these sorts of movies is, you know, where it's like, oh, you know, they have these big fancy computers, and oh, there's this, like, you know...
And nobody in the government can figure it out, so
yeah,
they
gotta
bring some ragtag, like, 25-year-old.
Yeah, and then, of course, she has to go outside the system to this hacker person that she knows, who is the only person on Earth who can figure this out. And, of course, within, like, a minute, he can figure out... He can, you know, like, decipher
right.
this alien language into English.
And then they end up back in the custody of the government anyway. So that's, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Things like that.
That was a little weak in there, I'll give you that. But
yeah. That's
but it's the sort of shit I would expect out of a movie like this anyway, so I...
Yeah.
I don't...
They had to force some stuff.
I will say, you know, this is good. I think I actually like Armageddon better, though.
Oh, and, Jesus Christ. Hey.
I don't know, I just think it was more consistent.
Animal crackers scene.
See, I was scared. That scene at the in Transformers where he parks under that big tree.
Yeah.
It's like, oh shit, it's a Michael Bay tree. I thought Shia was going to pull out the animal crackers and go to town.
No, but restraint.
That's true.
There was the fun part, too, where Bumblebee tried to help him woo that chick or whatever. That was pretty funny.
Oh, like,
all that
or,
stuff.
But it,
playing
it,
the different music and...
Oh, when she's, like, stranded and it plays Drive by the cars. I mean, yeah, it was very much an 80s movie. Yeah, that's a good thing. It's an 80s movie.
And then when she was walking away, you, like, kicked the music on and it was, like, come back or something.
Oh, baby, come back.
Yeah, baby, come back.
Yeah.
So, it was, like, cheesy, but it was, like, the right amount of cheese.
See, that stuff is okay, but, like, endless computer screens and hackers, I can't always hack
At least
that.
They didn't dwell on that stuff that much, I didn't think. So.
There were an awful lot of apples being used by the United States government, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can quite buy that.
Yeah. And then the one thing, too, we did talk about is that, like, in a lot of the action scenes, they probably could have set the camera back about 30, 40 feet.
At least.
Because there's, like, tons of shots where it was like Michael Bay was still filming like he was filming humans, but he was actually filming, like, 40-foot robots, like,
right,
from
so robot,
10 feet away.
Well, yeah, it'll be transforming, but it'll take up, like, the entire frame.
Yeah. The effects were really good, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They were phenomenal. They looked better than, like, most of Spider-Man 3 did, I thought.
Right, because everything looked like real machinery and whatnot.
Yeah.
And it was cool, like, when you see close-ups of Optimus Prime, and you could still see the windshields of the...
Yeah, and
you
could see,
dirty.
Like, the wiper blades and stuff,
Mm-hmm. And then the robots could actually be damaged and stuff, and one of them gets killed, and...
Yeah.
Well, what exactly happened to Starscream? I didn't quite get that.
Oh.
Do you remember when he was, like, fight...
After the movie, you might see, I don't know.
Oh,
so.
I should have stayed a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Because that was cool when he was fighting the raptors or whatever those guys were.
Like, taking them down.
Yeah, and Michael Bay's like, ah, it's been 5 years. Let's have some planes hit buildings. Who cares?
Yeah. and God bless him for it.
He doesn't give a fuck. He's Michael Bay. Yeah, I don't think it's nothing I need to see again until it's on disc, and then...
Yeah.
Yeah. But I definitely agree with the camera thing. At least 30 feet back. Of course, that's the same complaint I had about Batman Begins, but, I mean, you've got, like, a 30-foot-tall robot...
Yeah,
don't you think
you
we
gotta
want to see
pull
the whole thing? I mean...
Yeah, just picture, like, if they would have filmed King Kong from, like, 10 feet away.
Yeah, instead of, like, seeing... Yeah, that's a good example. I mean, that movie was done a lot better in that aspect.
Yeah.
You know, you see, like, the scene in King Kong where he's, like, sliding around the ice in Central Park. Imagine if that was shot with his shoulders at the edge of the frame and close up. That's what a lot of Transformers is like. It's like, back the fucking camera up. I mean, don't you think it'd be easier to render, you know, since there's not so much detail? But... There was an awful lot of destruction at the end, which is cool.
Yes.
Although, again, that's why they went to the city.
Yeah.
Let's go to the city for extraction. Why? There's more things to destroy. Yeah. So, there you go. Yeah. I don't know if there's anything else you want to say about it.
That's probably about it. Yeah, I'd definitely recommend it. I mean, the only other summer movie I've seen so far was Spider-Man 3, and I would say this was much more entertaining overall for me. I mean, I like Spider-Man 3, too, but this, I don't know, it just appeals to me in a way. And if you like the cartoon at all, I think you're going to enjoy this, because they have a lot of the quotes in it from the cartoon.
And of course, from the movie.
Yes.
At the end of this day, one shall stand, one shall fall. Of course, Starscream isn't like a whiny bitch like he was.
Yes, that was unfortunate. I knew they wouldn't do it, but I was really hoping.
I got a little tired of that boombox sound wave robot. He got a little annoying after a while.
Yeah. But, yeah, he kind of kept running around the whole time, so...
And, of course, he was like the little robot that the humans could punch and fight,
yeah,
so to speak.
Had to have something for them to do, I guess.
So, were you happy that an Xbox 360 transformed in it, Jones?
That was hilarious.
That's right, you will see an Xbox 360 transform.
Yeah, because I saw that guy walk, and I'm like, wait a minute, he had like a white box. I wonder if that was the 360, and then they cut to it again. Sure enough.
Because there's this cube that they're trying to find, and like, apparently the cube can make anything into a transformer, and it gets bumped or something.
Yeah.
And it causes like a SUV and a Xbox 360 and a Mountain Dew machine to transform. Who knows what became of any of those robots, but...
But that's okay.
And apparently all the machines it creates are evil, so...
Yeah, it seems that way, which is odd, but that's okay.
Yeah, so I think it... I was actually hoping it would be a little better, but it's a movie for kids in the end, not me.
Yeah.
So...
It was as good as I could have ever expected a Transformers live-action movie to be. I remember when I heard they were making it, I just cringed. But I actually wound up being pretty damn entertained. It's the most entertained I've been by a movie in the theater in a long time.
Yeah, I read a script, the old script review, and I thought of it as I was watching the movie. Because I guess in the original script, remember when they put the cube in the backseat of the car and put the seatbelt on it? And I guess, like, remember? I guess in the original script right after that, one of them says, "We sound like parents now." Or something ridiculous like that.
Jesus.
As soon as I saw them put the seatbelt, I'm like, oh shit, I remember hearing about this in the script review, but they must have cut it or not filmed it, so
yeah.
Thank God for small wonders. So, and then of course at the end, Optimus Prime was like, come to Earth for refuge, other Autobots, or something.
Yeah, something along those lines, so.
Yeah.
Good times, though.
Yeah, I think, on average, I think people are like, oh, I'm not so sure about it becoming the big hit of the year, though, anymore. I don't know. As I saw it, it's pretty long.
Yeah, the theater was sadly barren, but I don't know. I think it's still going to be... Maybe it won't be the big hit of the year, but I think it's going to be the surprise of the year. Because I don't think a lot of people were really expecting it to do much, originally.
Hmm.
I mean, nobody talked about it. You know, everybody was just talking about, you know, all the three movies and Harry Potter to some extent. Nobody was really talking about this one. So I think this is the one that's going to kind of... surprise some people with what it does. And the people that were there seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see. Yeah. All right. Well, there was our Transformers review, and check it out if you have nothing else to do.
Yes.
Hello, and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I am your host, Ben Heckendorn.
Who is incapable of clapping, we have just found out.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to me. I had trouble clapping to do the sync. With me, telling me that I can't clap, is Jason Jones.
Yahoo.com. Yes.
Well, we have some new topics for you today, as opposed to old ones. They seem to be slanted toward computers a little bit.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Bane of my existence.
Jones is like, no! I was alive! Topic one is our Vista Revista, is it? That's exactly what I typed.
Yes, and you even managed to say it.
We talked about Vista a few months ago, but now Jones and I have both used it for more than a month, so we could have some more opinions on it. We're going to talk about it. Pros, cons, surprises, etc., etc. Topic two is PC versus console gaming. Pretty much speaks for itself. And the final topic is, or are, thoughts on the Apple iPhone / double standards in electronics.
What?
If you saw the picture on the main page, it kind of sums it up. You know. So, yes, how exactly do these double standards work, and why do they exist? So we'll talk on that a little bit. All right, news of the week. Do you have any... new gaming news you've heard about lately, Jones, besides this crap I wrote?
The only thing I can really think of that I, right off the top of my head, that I heard about was, I guess Nintendo is going to actually make it so people can make their own games for the Wii and publish them and things, and it's going to be called WiiWare, I think. So basically, they're... This kind of lends proof to our thought I'm going there, just a second, though. This lends proof to our theory, though, that Bill Gates has a time machine. Because obviously, he must have went ahead in time, found out Nintendo was going to do this, went back in time, said, hey, we gotta do this XNA game studio thing so that people can make games for the 360. Because obviously, Nintendo thought of it first still. Just had to make sure we got that out there. But anyway, so, Nintendo...
Own the explanation!
But so anyway, Nintendo's got this WiiWare thing that's coming out, and I think it's supposed to be like early next year. And they haven't given a lot of the particulars about like how the games are going to be distributed or any of that sort of stuff. But at least it looks like maybe in the future there will be some new content coming out for the virtual console or whatever instead of games that, you know, we all bought 10, 15 years ago. So.
Oh, I downloaded that Aegis Wing for Xbox 360 last night. That
yeah,
free
I saw
one.
You were playing that. Yeah,
the one yeah, that I also saw I beat your score.
Yeah. Bastard.
Wow, how convenient being able to see if you can beat your friend's scores online.
Yes.
Without having to like take
kind
paper,
of handy.
Paper and pencil over. Well, that's interesting, and I assume Sony will do something yeah. using their time machine as well.
Yes. So I think it's a good thing that they're doing that, because it can only, you know, be a positive thing, I think. But that's about all I got for news that I can think of. E3 is coming up soon, too. But
oh, the castrated version
yeah,
of well, E3?
Yeah, whatever they're going to call it. I see Microsoft, Nintendo, and Sony are still having presentations, so that's dandy. WiiWare and E3 coming to a home near you.
Along with PlayStation at home.
Yes.
A.K.A. The Sims meets Second Life. But it could be popular.
Yeah, it could be interesting.
I was reading that apparently there's a 30% failure rate for Xbox 360s because JFK was killed by aliens.
Really? Well, I suppose it makes sense.
That seems to be the number people have come up with. What do you think about that?
I don't know. That's kind of... From my own personal experience and the experience of all the 30-some people now that I've got on my friends list, I think... Let's see. How many people have had failures? Two of them that I know of have had failures. Like, one of them just had to send theirs in, and then the one guy, his had a... it wouldn't recognize the hard drive right when he bought the thing, so he just took it right back to the store and got another one, and that one's worked fine for over a year.
Huh.
Mine worked fine for over a year, and the Elite's been fine so far. So I don't know. You know, I've got a small sample of 30-some people, but it's like none of them have these ridiculous numbers of issues like people report on the internet, you know, where they say, I'm on my third one or I'm on my fifth one now. And you kind of hit on a point with that too when we were talking earlier that possibly those people went and bought one. Yeah, it did have a problem. They sent it in. Microsoft sent them a refurbed one back. It's not like they're getting a brand new, freshly assembled unit. So it's yeah. possible that could be lending to some of this too, but. Also, do these people have hard numbers to go off of for this, or it's just a conspiracy theory, like with the planes hitting the Trade Center and that they were, you know, like drones and all this stuff like people think? Same sort of stuff, you know?
Change. Yeah. Well, people always want to think there's some sort of conspiracy, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hell, I love conspiracy theories, too. So
right.
They're fun.
I guess we'll see if mine lasts. Apparently there was a factory that was bad, and they closed the factory.
Okay.
So maybe there was some issues.
So, what did you just say, Ben?
Oh, yes, I finally bought an Xbox 360.
So you jumped in.
Whee! Splash. Well, it just so happens, this was like, well, it was right after the last podcast. I was trying to finish that new single-handed controller prototype. And I didn't have a 360, and I was getting really tired of driving down to Jones's to test it every 5 days or whatever it was. And I'm like...
Because it does take, like, 20 minutes or so to get to my house, so...
And yeah. I always do like eating those mints your wife buys.
Yes.
But So anyway, I'm like, damn it, I'll just go buy my own 360. Screw it. So I bought a Core because I had a hard drive and all sorts of other you know, things I could stick on it and make it good.
Nice.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I about fell over that night. I was sitting at home playing who knows what, probably Forza or whatever, and and all of a sudden I see the dunk-dunk thing come up, and it's like, Ben Hex online. I'm like, what the hell?
I'm alive! So, yep.
So, yeah.
As Jones has said, my gamer tag is, get this, Ben Hex.
Yeah, shocking.
I think
you fully embraced the fact that you are Ben Hex.
I haven't signed up for the gold membership yet, maybe next month.
Yeah, you might as well wait till you get a game that you want to actually play online, you know? I wonder if they're going to have, like, multiplayer and GTA and stuff, because they haven't really talked about features in it, you know?
Cause, they like, had that second trailer just came out, like...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, Crackdown's got multiplayer, so...
That's true. If I had to guess, I would say no, although it would be freaking awesome.
I'd guess no, too, but it'd be cool if they did.
I think a massive online multiplayer game of Grand Theft Auto would be pretty much the coolest game ever made.
Yeah, it'd be pretty wild. It'd be shit blowing up everywhere. It'd be a good time.
Send people on missions, and...
Yeah.
That would send World of Warcraft back to school with its lunch money between its legs. So, yeah, I have a 360 now. Whee! So I have to say, though, it's pretty damn loud.
It is.
Because
yeah.
I have it sitting right here on my desk because I hooked it up to my computer monitor. Yeah. But
yeah, I'd agree. That's one of its major flaws, I would say, is that it is noisy. After a while, after having it, though, you just kind of get used to it and you manage to tone it out. But that is one thing I would definitely change with it if I could.
The interface is cool, and I like downloading demos. That's fun. And
yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your impressions so far? Because you got to try a few different games, so pretty much liking it so far.
Oh, I beat Gears of War, did I tell you that?
Yeah. Yeah, the game gets significantly more difficult when you go up in levels. Because the first playthrough is not too bad, but then when you go up to, I can't remember if it's Hardcore's the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And that one, I know, like, Act 4 was really a bitch. Like, I was playing it multiplayer with Jeroen from the forums or whatever, and we had a lot of trouble getting through Act 4 on that. And I haven't even tried Insane yet, but... Good times, though.
I think the killer features, like Xbox Live and all the things you can do, and friends lists, etc., etc.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's really cool about it. Although, when we get to our PC versus console gaming, I definitely have some thoughts on that after I tried the Lost Planet PC demo.
Ah, yes.
So, maybe we should move on to our topics then, unless we have any more news stories.
Nah, that's probably good. Carry on.
Very well. Vista Revista is it? AKA, I apparently have no grasp of the English language. About a couple months ago, we talked about Windows Vista a little bit, and I think Jones had it for about a week. But now it's a couple months later, and we've both had it for a while. So we have more opinions of it, believe it or not. Or at least I do. So, do you want to start, Jones?
Yeah, probably, because I don't have much to say, because I pretty much have the same opinion I had back then. I like it, but if you're just somebody out there who's got XP, and XP does everything you want it to, I don't really see any reason to run out and buy it. If you're getting a new computer and it comes with it, great. But, you know, you can get IE7 with XP and all that, and XP does everything very well already, so Vista's nice, but most of the stuff's kind of window dressing. And the one cool thing I did just...
Window dressing.
Yeah, literally. Nice ironic twist there. But the nice thing I did get to check out this last week is I went out and bought a new router finally because mine died like 8 months ago.
Oh, you did?
Yep. And so I actually hooked up Vista and the 360 at the same time. And sure enough, I powered up the 360 and on the Vista it goes bloop. Hey, there's an Xbox 360 online. Do-do-do-do-do. You know, what do you want to do here? And you can go right away and configure the media extender. And
hey, this one should be able to do that, too.
Yeah, should. Yeah, you should try it out
later.
Yeah. It's really wicked, though, because it's got it, I don't know, it was a simple process. It took probably less than 5 minutes, and I had the media extender stuff all set up, so I could go onto my 360 and view the exact same interface that was on my Vista machine. And so I could actually sign up for some movie service. God, what's it called? I can't remember what it was called. Pongo or something, I don't know. But you could download movies through it, and it would actually download them through Vista, but then you could view them on the 360, and then if you have a tuner card in your PC, you can download like TV listings and everything and actually use your Vista machine like a TiVo and then watch all the shows on the 360, which is pretty wicked stuff. I thought all that was really cool, and it was super simple to set up. So that's one neat thing I've discovered. I knew that it existed, but I hadn't actually seen it in action until just this last week, and it's pretty neat stuff. So if you've got, you know, that sort of setup at home, it could definitely be a cost savings in some respects. If you went out and bought a new machine with Vista Ultimate on it, then it's like, well, you don't need a TiVo anymore and all that. So, and you can view your pictures and all sorts of other crap through it too. So,
interesting.
Kind of schnazzy.
I'll have to try that.
Otherwise, though, my opinion pretty much remains the same. If you have XP, stick with it till you buy a new machine, and then you can get Vista that way, and you'll be fine.
I used Vista for a week or two, and then I'm like, I don't know. I think I'm going to put XP on my computer instead.
This is on your new computer that you built.
Right, and I have two hard drives, so I just was going to put XP on the second hard drive and leave everything in place in the first hard drive. Anyway, so I was installing XP, and I just started noticing that the interface is a lot, I don't know exactly what to say. I mean, not just the whooshy effects, but the thing where you like drag windows around and leave bits of themselves behind. And
yeah.
It's very primitive compared to the way the Aero interface works, which has all polygons or whatever. I mean, you definitely notice a difference. And so basically, I ended up not reverting.
Well, and you also saw that your performance wasn't impacted like you thought it was either, correct?
Well, at least with Battlefield 2, because obviously that's the hallmark of performance tests.
Of course, I'm sure that's what Microsoft uses to benchmark on. So.
It's like, let's use this 2-year-old game. It was the same. It was like 99 frames a second all the way up. So, Lost Planet's another story, which I'll get to later. And yeah, there's just, I like the file browsing, the thing, and I use Windows Explorer, you know, to look at the files. I use it all the time. You know, it'll say like computer at the top of the thing, at least. It'll say computer, then an arrow, folder, and then kind of like in a line, and you can click on any one of them that you want to go up.
Yeah,
in a level,
that is nice. Yeah.
Which is faster than using the directory tree. One thing I don't like though is whenever you open like the folder to look at files, it always expands like Ben or whoever you are.
Mm.
Insert your name here. You know, like under my documents, it expands that whole thing.
Yeah,
like it wants you to look there first. And of course, since I think that's bullshit, I put everything like right on my C drive because that's where it belongs. So that's like an extra step I don't like. The 3D flip is cool, but it's not terribly useful.
Yeah.
Also, I don't think there's any decrease in speed with the Aero interface as long as your computer is somewhat reasonable. Yeah.
Yes.
As for cons, I know you want to move on to something not involving computers, even though we're not going to move on to something not involving computers.
This is my life.
Kill me. The user account control, or UAC, is annoying, but once you install everything, you don't really run across it very much.
Yeah.
Because in a given day, you don't really install very many programs. At least
exactly.
I don't. And there is a way to make, you know, when the UAC says, broom, broom, would you like to run this, and the whole screen blacks out or whatever? That's because it's actually switching to the
it's going out
Vista
of the Aero interface. Yeah.
View, and you can actually set a flag somewhere to make it stay in Aero, which is a lot less annoying. Search online for how to do that, because I don't know what to tell you. I can't remember how I did it. It's like a registry thing. Okay, here's something I definitely noticed. We noticed it the first time we used it at your place. The copying file dialog box is bullshit. It's like, well, I copy a lot of big files. Like, I'll copy a big file off the laptop here when we do the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, say it's like 500 megabytes. It'll say, copying files, calculating time to copy files. And you'll see that the whole time. It won't show you the actual progress. It'll just say calculating time, then the file's copied. Well, remember, it's like, what the hell is going on?
Well, remember that wanky thing it did, too, when we were redoing my website, and we were copying, like, the CSS file.
Oh, and it kept on popping up the window in front of the other window?
Well, and it kept, like, if you looked at the FTP window in Explorer or whatever,
oh, duplicates
it had
files?
Duplicate entries, even though that file only existed there once, but it had, like, you know, jones.css, like, listed 15 times in the same directory because we'd copied it up there a whole shitload of times.
That was just
really odd. And I had that happen with something else not too long ago either. So I don't know if that was just a Vista thing or not, but it was kind of bizarre.
Oh, I've got another one that's really annoying. By default, most of your folders, the columns, you know, in the olden days, if you went into details, you'd see, like, the file or folder on the left, size, date modified, you know, normal things.
Yeah.
But in Vista, everything defaults to, like, photo taken on, artist, all this, like, bullshit, wanky stuff.
Yeah.
I said wanky, like, five times so far. Or, like, a star rating. It's like, why the fuck do I want to give a star rating to this folder?
I don't know. Some people like that shit.
But you can customize it all.
Yeah.
Which, and then you can make it all normal, like a real person needs. I found that kind of annoying. But it is cool. The amount of customization you can do is quite impressive.
Yeah.
And I did a few things with, you know, manually FTPing into Windows and whatnot. I thought it worked out fine.
Yeah.
Like, I did that with the wiki thing to change my file permissions. It was actually easier for me
right.
to do it that way.
Yeah.
Because we have a different FTP login for the subdomain. It has nothing to do with this podcast. Why am I talking about it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, check out wiki.benheck.com. It's my new wiki to which I've added no content personally, but other people have. So check it out.
But it has nothing to do with this podcast.
Except for the name.
Yes. So I have fun out there.
Let's see. I still can't. You know that awesome HP scanner you gave me that you found in the dumpster where you were?
Yeah.
It doesn't work with Vista. I am outraged.
Yeah. Yeah, it's only like, what, 6, 7 years old, probably? I mean, what the hell's going on here?
Well, it used to be in the olden days, old stuff, all those drivers would be in there, you know, like legacy, but now it's like, yeah, we have a 10 gig install of this operating system, but no, we don't have 48K for that scanner. Sorry.
That's right. 10 gigs of fury, baby.
Well, if you ever find another scanner laying in a dumpster, think of me.
I'll see what I can do. We pretty much replaced them all with a big, like, scanner, copier, printer, do everything, including, you know, bake a loaf of bread machine, so.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind having one of those, but they're kind of expensive.
Bread is good, though.
Yes.
What about that pizza thing you have where it rotates and kind of cooks it in a line?
Yeah, it's like the Presto Pizzazz or whatever the hell it's called. That thing kicks ass.
I don't think I've ever actually seen that in operation.
Oh, well, the next time you're over, we'll put it to good use.
I don't think you probably couldn't fit one of those Papa Murphy pizzas in there, though, could
no,
you?
No, unfortunately, it does have its limitations, but pretty much any frozen pizza, you can whip that baby on there. And
how long does it take?
What is it? Like a tombstone, full-size tombstone pizza, you can cook her just the way I like them in 17 minutes, which is with it
so
slightly
normal,
browned
right?
on the top and everything. Which is pretty good. Plus, you don't have to deal with, you know, preheating the oven and all that. And this has absolutely nothing to do with the podcast, but it's awesome.
Well,
so.
I like it when the pizza crust on frozen pizzas...
It cooks it all even, too,
right,
which is
nice. Just before it gets crunchy. Yeah,
yeah.
It's a very... I like it when the top of the crust is, like, doughy.
Okay.
And the bottom is hard. Because then you can, like, scrape the top off with your teeth and go like...
You'd probably love this thing, because that's pretty much how it cooks them.
Well, see, since I'm obsessive-compulsive to some extent, except for I don't wash my hands 10 times a day, or even, like, twice, but, yeah, I'll solder with lead and make a sandwich. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, what the hell.
Anyway, I always get those, like, what are they, 9-inch tombstone pizzas?
Because
those are perfect for one person. You put them in the oven, then you time 7 minutes at 375, and then you rotate it 90 degrees, and then you cook it another 7 minutes, and that makes it perfect. But see, that's what your machine does.
Yep.
That's why pizzas, I mean, amazingly enough, that's why most people, when they cook pizzas, they're burned on one side, because mm-hmm. the oven isn't equal inside. It's not a convection oven,
you're
it's a piece of shit.
You're kidding me.
I know, it's hard to believe. So, order your Presto pizza rotator thing now.
Yeah, they're like less than $50, so it's a hell of a deal. You probably save that on your electricity in a year alone by not having to heat your damn oven up.
Do you like it better than the George Foreman grill?
Shit, yeah. Pisses all over that thing.
You know, I never really understood the appeal of those.
I think the biggest appeal of them is that, like, all the fat and shit, like, drains out of the meat. And the one thing I do like about the Foreman's compared to, like, frying your burger in a pan. God, this is like the Food Network Ben Heck podcast here or something all of a sudden.
With Rachel Ray. Or Ratra.
But I am a fan of, like, what do you want to call it? I don't want to call it, like, a wet burger, but, you know, but it's, like,
juicy?
Where it's, like, juicy. Yeah, you know, a juicy burger. And when you fry them in a freaking pan or whatever, they always seem like they end up a little too dry for my taste.
Yeah.
Where with the Foreman's and stuff, they're always, like, nice and juicy, but it drains a bunch of the shit out of it still. And, I don't know, they're a good time. They have their uses. I'm a pizza guy, though,
it
more than
anything.
It seems
like they're kind of harder to clean than a pan, though.
Yeah, they do suck to clean. You have to, like,
especially
clean them right
away.
Especially
when your roommates use it but never clean it.
Yes, that would be a problem. Yeah, you have to clean the damn things right away, otherwise they're a total pain in the ass. And we have that monster Foreman, too, where you can cook, like, 8 burgers on it at a time or whatever the hell you want. Which kicks ass. Beats having a propane tank.
I can't wait to eat some s'mores again.
It can happen.
Yes. All right, I suppose we should get back to our technology and gaming podcast here.
Hey, that was some pretty badass technology.
Now
we were
I'm
talking
all hungry. Great. At least I just went shopping yesterday. So, I'm not sure what food has to do with scanners, but there
or
you
Vista,
go.
But it might have everything to do with it. I suppose you can shop for food with Vista, but
well, is there any closing statements for the
closing statements
oh, what
for
about
the
that
defense?
Thing with Google, where Google's forcing Microsoft to GIMP the built-in search.
Oh yeah, I read something about that.
I GIMPed it myself because I guess indexing slows down your computer.
Yes, it does.
Actually, I found that search to be really not that great.
Like the desktop search thing they've got?
I don't use it that well. The built-in one.
Yeah, I
know
never
I turned
use
off
it
indexing.
Anyway.
I tried to find a file, I couldn't find it to save my life, and at least there wasn't a dog trying to help me.
Yeah, sort of paperclip.
But yes, what did you hear about Google?
Well, just about that thing where, like, they were taking Microsoft to court or whatever because they claimed that Microsoft made it so that people couldn't choose what search engine they used on their desktop and all that. And I love how all of the stuff that's, like, within Windows has become, like, public domain or something.
It's amazing.
You know? It used to be, you know, Microsoft had
the whole browser thing.
Yeah, it's just absurd. It's like people piss and moan, and I know I sound like a Microsoft
apologist.
Well, does
Pioneer get pissed when Ford puts a good stereo in a car from the factory?
Maybe they should, I don't know. But it's just annoying, because it's like people piss and moan, oh, Windows has this problem, Windows has this problem. So then Microsoft does things to correct it. They put functionality in that people want, and then people bitch about it. And they're like, wah, you know,
yeah, that's
I
a good,
wanna,
that's a good point.
I want to install this, and I want to install that, and
Well,
you know,
I mean,
it's like,
you know, I don't agree with the spaghetti string of code posing as a web browser, IE7.
Oh, please. That thing pisses on Firefox.
Come on, it's got a fox humping the planet. That's like a world-class icon right there. How can you not want to use that kind of a browser?
I don't know. I've just never gotten a taste for Firefox.
Well, don't
for
you remember?
Reason.
Actually, I've
it's not a bad
over the
browser,
years.
But
I think I find it quite remarkable when you know the default web browser, or whatever, for whatever reason, Windows might pop it up and it goes to Firefox because for a long time it would always go to IE. But of mm-hmm. course, there's a whole bunch of lawsuits about that. Well, I think that the long and short of it is, you know, a lot of those programs are built into like OS X or Tiger or whatever it is that's supposed to be so cool. But if Apple had the market share that Microsoft did, they would have antitrust lawsuits
yeah.
as well. It just has to do with
it's
market share and
thing.
Lack of choice.
Yeah.
Or perceived lack of choice.
Because I guess I haven't looked at OS X or not, but I wouldn't be surprised if they like have it come with iTunes. I don't know if they do or not. You know, like how Microsoft has Media Player come with their OS.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was a... in the Europe, that was a
big deal over there.
The
yeah.
thing is, most people are lazy. They just want it to work out of the box.
Yeah.
So the thing, Apple, it just works. So what's wrong with Microsoft giving people free crap that just works and not assuming you'll install something from Google that you may or may not know about?
Yeah.
That would lead very well into the third topic. So that's a good – actually, that's a good that is very much like our third topic. Well, let's move on to topic two and keep it short so we can get into our probably meatier than we expect third topic.
All right.
That was quite Meat. A spaghetti sentence. Man, what is it? It's like the Food Network.
God, this is awesome. We've hit on like pizza, burgers, bread, Vista, WiiWare.
Exactly.
Where are we going to go next?
Next, we are going to PC versus console gaming.
Hey, you can eat pizza while you play PC games.
That's true.
That's what I always liked about PC gaming, is that it wasn't a big deal to eat while I was doing it. Like when I'm playing my strategy games and stuff. Because I just play strategy games on the PC. Where like console games, like eating gets in the way, so sometimes I actually forget to eat. It's kind of annoying.
Eating gets in the way. It sounds like a slogan or something. Yeah, that's true. Because, well, you know why it is? Because you've got a desk when you play a computer
game.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, usually I put the beer between my legs when I'm playing a...
I don't want to know what you do with your beer.
Well, since we're talking about the ergonomics of food...
Yeah.
Well, you know, on the back of my headset box, it talks about the microphone stalk stays in the way of incoming pizza and chip dip.
Oh, that's right.
I would hate that back when I used to be an idiot and I was in a clan. The next day, I'd look at my microphone thing. It would have, like, chip dip or, like, yep. crap on it because I was like, blah, blah, spawn there. Blah, blah.
Well, I did that with my 360 headset. I dipped it in some pizza one night and didn't really realize it till later on. I'm like, oh, nice. My microphone's red now.
Have you dipped your microphone in chip dip or pizza? If so, we can help. Call us now.
Operators are standing by.
So, let me get this straight. The only... difference in PC versus console gaming is what you can and cannot eat or drink during it.
That's an important consideration for me.
But, you know, I never thought about it that way, but that's totally true. I mean, I can't set a pizza in my Papazon, but I can set it here on my desk.
Although your 360's at your desk, so you're in a unique situation
here.
There's
enough room for one of my 9-inch pizzas there.
But, like, the keyboard and stuff, like, lends itself better to, like, one-handed gameplay. You know, to get to that. Or, like, the controller, you gotta, like, have both hands on it, pretty much. But, like, computer, you can be dinking around with the mouse and the keyboard and whatever and have a piece of pizza in your other hand.
Well, not if you're Captain Wasad.
Well, no.
But
so it's a little different for you.
Yes, because I play so many online PC games.
Hey, you used to, man. I remember when I'd come over here and it'd be, you'd always be in here playing Medal of Honor for a while there. That was, like, all
what,
you were
you
doing.
Mean, like, 3 years ago?
Or actually, no, that wasn't here. That was when you were at the old apartment.
Oh, yeah, I did that year, because I'm like, yes, high-speed internet, Medal of Honor. It was fun. Oh, I'm totally buying Call of Duty 4. Oh, yeah.
That should be pretty cool.
Told you, I'm going to play video games all year.
Attaboy. Hold him to it, people.
Hey, I beat Gears of War the other day, and now
yeah.
I'll...
That wasn't even on your list. Remember you made that list last time about games you were going to beat this year?
That list is shattered.
And Gears of War wasn't even on there.
I bet Bioshock wasn't either. Anyway, yes.
That's true.
PC versus console gaming.
And what it means to you.
Understanding what you can eat during it. Well, okay, I downloaded the Lost Planet for PC demo, and I'm like, oh, wow, this is cool. They've got a DirectX 10 version of the demo. Vista only. Yeah, that's me.
Vista, what are you doing?
I installed it. It ran like complete and utter dog shit. Only after turning everything all the way down, and I mean everything. A resolution I didn't turn all the way down, but I made it like 1280 by 720 to make it like an Xbox.
Yeah.
Then I was able to get frame rates in the 40s.
Wow.
And the Xbox 360 version runs at 30 frames a second, I believe.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And I was thinking... this is stupid. I mean, I would think my computer can do more than this since the video card alone costs almost as much as a 360. Maybe it's just bad programming, but I was not convinced. Hmm. But maybe if a game's on a console, it should stay there.
Yes.
It's probably not going to make the transition very well. Whereas I'm sure Call of Duty 4 will be fine on the PC, since it's probably going to be PC, then 360. Or
yeah, I would imagine.
That's the way it'll be ported. I don't know. I guess that's kind of one thing I noticed in a difference. But I know you like playing the games online. But it is kind of fun with the headset, and you like talk to your friends during the game, or you set up chat channels too, can't you?
Yep. Yeah, it's like when we were online, you know, you could be playing Dead Rising, and I could be off playing Forza, and we could be talking to each other. We don't have to be in the same game.
Was that the thing where like there's like a chat channel and like a video channel like 1 through 4?
Yeah, there's like there's like 4 different chat channels, and then there's like the game channel. So like if I was playing Lost Planet online, that'd be the game channel, and then I could have you on one of my chat channels and like somebody else on another one, and I could switch between them like depending on who I wanted to talk to or whatever. Which is kind of neat. Well, it's a goddamn good feature. So
PC gaming is kind of slightly more expensive.
Yes. Yeah, your computer costs a little more than my 360, even the two of them that I've bought, so.
It costs more than my 360 as well.
Yes.
Because of the Food Network. Yeah, so, I mean, that's why when I saw something like the Lost Planet demo, I'm like, this is unexcusable.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what the... But it did remind me, thousands of years ago, in 1996...
Oh, that was a long time ago, actually.
A friend of mine had the NBA Live 96 for PC.
Oh, no.
And nobody's PC could run it. So we took it to Best Buy, where they had a brand new, blazing fast, cutting edge, 150 megahertz Pentium 1.
Yes.
And installed it on that, and that wouldn't even run it. So maybe just console games ported to PC is bad.
Could be, yeah.
Oh, it was just pathetic.
And the thing with console games, like, the reason I've always been a bigger console gamer than PC gamer is just because with the console, if you go to Best Buy or wherever, and you go to the 360 section or the Wii section or PS3, whatever, but you see the games there, you know if you buy it, you can go home, plunk it into the disk drive, put it in, and you're going to be able to play it as it was meant to be played. You don't need to worry about, oh, what's my video card? How much memory do I, you know, all that stuff. It's like, I don't want to deal with that shit.
Oh, but the games for Windows Experience rating will help with that.
Obviously. No, I just never wanted to deal with that shit. The only time I cared is like when I went and I'm like, Civilization 3 or 2, 3 or 4 now. It's like, I love the Civilization games, so it's like, yeah, I want to play that. And so I could only get it on the PC, although now I see they're going to make a Civilization for the 360 and PS3, and I think even one for the DS or something I read. But
the DS one would be cool because you could use the stylus.
Yeah, so, but, you know, so those are like the only 10.
Yeah, there could be one for the Wii, and the remote could be a sword, and you could use that to stab your enemies.
Yeah, even though there's, like, no first-person combat in it, but that's okay.
Hey, apparently they're making a lightsaber game for the Wii.
Well, you knew that was a matter of time before that happened.
I wonder if it'd be as awesome as Red Steel.
We can only hope. But yeah, so, I don't know, that's why strategy games have always been the only thing I've ever really played on the computer, because usually they're not, like, bleeding-edge hardware needs, but they're the sort of game that, to me, lends itself well to the computer. You know, you sit there and you move things around on the screen with the mouse and all that, and it, I don't know. It's just preferable to me to play those, like, first-person shooters. Not that I've tried a lot, but I could never really get the whole WASD shit down. I'd much rather just have a controller with the joysticks and go nuts, and yeah, maybe somebody who's really good on their keyboard and mouse can kick my ass still, but I don't care. There's people using the damn 360 controller that can kick my ass quite easily in most games, too, so it doesn't really matter to me.
I read someplace that even though you can use a keyboard and mouse on the PS3, some of the games gimp it, like Resistance, because the people with a keyboard and mouse would have an unfair advantage, which I think they would. I definitely think that's true.
Yeah.
But I got pretty good at that game. I haven't played it in a while. The end.
Yes, I don't know why you haven't been able to play it in a while, but
But my amazing cable extension worked.
Yes, it did.
Which I'm very proud of and surprised at the same time. What do you think about this nonsense where you can buy Shadowrun or Halo 2, which is a 3-year-old Xbox One game, for your Vista machine and play against people on the 360?
I think it's a good idea. I mean, why not explore it?
Then you
at
have
least.
To like get Xbox Live for your computer.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't know how that works. Like, do you still have to pay for it, or do they leave it free like other things?
And it's unless you have it for the 360, then you just log in using your data.
Yeah. Which, quite honestly, most people are probably already going to have a 360 that are going to utilize it. Maybe not. I mean, of course, they're trying to expand into the PC audience.
Well, I think the problem with the PC, so many people are used to playing those games online for free.
Yeah.
I mean, with the exception of the subscription-based things like World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I was
going to
say World of Warcraft. People,
everything else is free. Well, it's not free for the people that run the servers, but...
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't think it's that big of an obstacle again. You know, I mean, yeah, of course, you know, people can say, oh, well, you know, yeah, I can play, you know, Medal of Honor for free against people or whatever, you know, but it's like, eh, this is kind of the way things are going, I think. And the thing is, Xbox Live, you know, as you mentioned earlier, it has a lot more to it than just being playing games against other people. It's got a lot of other content. Of course, the Gold service is mainly, like, the playing games against other people. There's some things where you get exclusive content if you're a Gold member, too, but...
Mm.
And not a Austin Powers Gold member, because, god damn it, that movie sucked. But anyway...
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
Ugh. But yeah, so, I don't know, I don't think it's a bad thing. It's
I was
not anything...
Say something, but I forgot.
It's not anything I would pursue, because I'm a console gamer, but... People that are PC gamers might find it intriguing. Be interesting to see how it takes off, if it does.
I think there'd have to be some sort of big PC game that... I mean, a lot of these games are... Like Call of Duty 4, there's a good example. That's going to be on the 360, PS3, and PC.
Yeah.
If that one had interoperability...
That could be a pretty big deal.
I mean, like Shadowrun or Halo 2, let's face it. One of them's like 3 years old, and the other one no one seems to care about.
Yeah.
It's going to take like a big title, or like Unreal Tournament 2007...
Yeah, Shadowrun seemed like it was one of those games where, like, only, like, the online gaming sites were talking about it. But nobody I knew who played games mentioned it at all.
Until today.
Yeah, so... I know I could give less than a shit. I downloaded the demo probably 2-3 weeks ago and haven't played it yet, so... What the hell. But yeah, I would agree if there's, you know, a big ticket release... Like, it'd be really cool if they would have made it so Halo 3, you know, came out at roughly the same time as the console version.
Yes, that would have been really cool, and probably quite possible.
But, of course, the reason it didn't happen is because they want to sell consoles, so... And who can blame them, I guess.
But whereas with Infinity Ward and Call of Duty, that's not their concern.
Yep.
So, we'll see on that one.
Yeah. Could be a good time.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Although, of course, the WASD people would kick all your ninny controller asses.
Bring it on, bitches. Bring your WASD to the fight.
Do what must be done.
I'll drop a big old plate on you.
Finish the fight. So you're going to buy Halo 3, right?
I would imagine I probably will get sucked into that one, because... Because I have a feeling all the people I play Lost Planet with currently, that's probably the one that they're kind of waiting on to come out. And when Halo 3 comes out, they'll probably all go out and buy that, and then they'll be playing that. So that'll be reason enough, I guess, for me to get into it. And I'm sure it'll be a fine game and all, so why the hell not?
Okay.
I have been thinking about picking up Halo 2 since it's cheap, and I figure I might as well get in on that, because there's still a hell of a lot of people out there playing that, too.
Well, you could buy it for your PC.
Yeah, I could.
Yes, definitely something you could do. Well, shall we move on to our third and final topic?
Sure.
Okay, because we're going to insert a Transformers review at the end of this podcast.
In theory.
Yes, we haven't seen it at this moment in time, my favorite song by Whitney Houston. But
is that your favorite song or just your favorite song by her?
Oh, both.
Wow.
Yeah, so we'll add that onto the end of the podcast. That's almost like topic 3.5, but not Die Hard 4.0.
Ugh.
Okay, final topic, our thoughts on the Apple iPhone / double standards in electronics.
Which, of course, we have, you know, not seen an iPhone or know anybody who has one or anything.
Arrested.
But that's never stopped us before. So, here we are. And Apple has brought out another toy for people to spend hundreds of dollars on.
It is a bit expensive.
Yeah, I would say so. For what it is. I think the iPhone, again, is another, you know, fine example of the fact that Apple has a very good marketing department. At least when it comes to these sorts of, like, consumer electronics-type devices.
Oh,
as
yeah.
far as the iPod and all these
well,
sorts
you know,
of things.
The iPhone 1.
What do you mean?
I'm just making something up like Fortune magazine.
Oh, is that
yet?
Like how Giuliani
yeah.
won the election
and how
already?
We,
yeah.
iPhone 1.
Wow.
Yeah, it's outsold every LG and Nokia phone.
Really?
It's already won.
Wow, that's impressive.
Hey, you know, if a you know professional journalism magazine can say that, I can say that. Why not?
Yeah, why the hell not?
That was fun, just making up
yeah,
bullshit.
Yeah, isn't it cool? It's kind of like working for Star Magazine.
Yes. Anyway, yeah, so there's this thing called the Apple. I remember a couple years ago when a shiny black electronic object came out, and everyone said it was really cool, but then three letters later complained about how expensive it was. Do you remember what that was?
God, I don't know. It might have been the PS3?
Was no, even
it?
Before that.
Oh,
the other shiny black object that cost too much.
Oh, the other shiny black object. You know,
you're just, close. God. Just change the 3...
to a 2?
To a P.
Oh, a P. Okay.
You remember?
I don't even remember the furor over that, but...
As soon as the PSP came out, people were like, this is too much money. They're like, this is cool, but it started at like $250.
Yeah, it was $250.
So our point is...
But of course...
Apparently,
compared
let's
to
say
a
Sony.
Yeah, it's only Sony that makes expensive shit, apparently. But the thing is, I suppose in that case, everybody's comparing it... Because they just look at it like, oh, it's a portable gaming system. So let's compare it to the other one that's out there, which is, you know, the
DS.
Game Boy or DS or whatever, which is half the price. And so they're like, well,
yeah,
obviously...
Yeah, not quite half, but...
But, you know, close enough.
Near, yeah.
And so it's, you know, they're like, well, obviously this thing's too expensive, and they don't
and
take into...
And you should get the one that's half the price.
Yeah, and they don't take into consideration all the extra functionality that, like, the PSP had, for
Well,
instance.
Still, you'd be hard-pressed to even find a cell phone that costs half the price of the iPhone. I mean, like, $250, I mean, Motor Razr probably didn't cost that.
Well, you can find cell phones that are half the price easily. Hell, you can get a goddamn BlackBerry that for, like, $300.
You know what it is. The Razr was cool, and so everyone bought one, so they had, like, what's next?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, now it's going to be the iPhone, which would be cool until...
And the thing is, the reason this is a coup again for Apple's marketing department, and probably part of the reason is because it's actually their hardware and all that, so they have, like, complete possession of it, and so it's, of course, in their best interest to try to push it out there for everybody, is that there's already devices out there that do everything that the iPhone does, and even a little more... But they don't have this big marketing blitz behind them. They're not, like, the darling of the media industry as far as, like, the magazines
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah, what's this copy-paste in the iPhone or something?
I haven't heard that.
You know, like on a PDA, you can, like, use the wand and, like, copy some text and hold
yeah.
down, right-click, copy,
oh, yeah.
and then paste. I guess you can't do that on the iPod, iPhone.
I wonder if it has to do with that whole one-button thing. Which I admit, I am curious to see how the whole one-button thing works.
What's
on
a
it.
One button?
Supposedly it's got one button on it. So, you know, like how my phone has got, like, you know, a keyboard
buttons.
On it and everything and all that. This thing's got, like, one button on it. But on the Today Show or whatever it was, on Friday, the day of its release, I found this funny. I read online that that Meredith Vieira or whatever, she was on there and she had an iPhone, and then Matt Lauer was over in London with an iPhone, and so there were all these Apple people just off camera, you know, that were working to get this whole thing staged so it would come out without a hitch. And so Matt Lauer was supposed to call her, and he called her, and they could see the thing ringing on the phone, but she couldn't figure out how to answer the phone.
Oh, no.
And I just thought that was so great, because Apple's touting it as the most user-friendly cell phone ever and all this stuff, and this is obviously a woman who's had cell phones before, the industry she's in. It's not like it's a foreign concept to her. And she couldn't figure out how to answer the damn phone. So I just found that to be
isn't
hilarious.
Is it like a button? Or like, it's like Skype, isn't it? You like say reject or...
could be. I don't know how it works, but, you know, it's supposed to be so user-friendly, you know.
Well, of course, neither of us have played one yet.
No. I mean, I would like to play around with it, and the coolest thing I heard about the iPhone, which I was like, you know, that's a pretty damn good idea, is that I read that you go to the store and you buy it, and you can actually come home and you activate it through iTunes. So you don't have to sit there at the store with some schmuck, you know, trying to figure out how to port your phone over and all that crap. You just take it home, doot-doot-doot-doot, and away you go.
Cool.
Which, that was neat sounding to
but
me.
But then,
I like that.
It's kind of an expensive phone to own, even after you spend all the money, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd be a little afraid of owning something that expensive and
well,
carrying it around.
Like
all the
that
time.
Phone you have, and you have the data plan, that's mm-hmm. through work, right?
Yes, yeah.
Now, if you didn't get that through work, would you have that?
Shit, no.
Now, so...
I'm also Mr. Anti-Cell Phone. If at all possible, I wouldn't even frickin' have one.
Right.
But if I wanted one, I definitely would not buy a $500
phone. So I guess what I was getting at is if you have an expensive cell phone, usually it's probably something work's going to get for you.
Yes.
But I don't think they're really... People are going to try to get works or workplaces to have iPhones, but they probably won't because it doesn't work with the exchange.
Yeah, I was going to say, I got to tell you, good luck if you try, because... Another limitation of the iPhone that nobody's talking about, of course, is that it, from what I've been able to discern, it does not work with enterprise email systems. So basically, like, at my work, we use Exchange. It will not work with it. You know, if you've got Gmail or something like that, it'll work with that and pull it down for you. But that's, you know, more personal email. It's not your work stuff. So anybody, you know, looking for their work to buy them one of these, good luck.
Unless you work at Apple.
Yeah.
Hell, maybe even Apple's servers run off Exchange.
Yeah.
No. The world can't be that ironic. But I just think it's interesting. How, it's all marketing, you know.
Yeah, it is. It's
like a $600 game console is stupid, but a $600 phone that you could easily drop and destroy is cool.
And it's a $600 game system that can play Blu-ray, which is, you know, the new high-def DVD format. It's like the cheapest Blu-ray player you can buy.
And I read someplace the iPhone is like a markup of 50% that they're making on it.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
And then Sony, because that's the thing, it tells you that it's just weird. It is a double standard. I mean, someone might say, you know, the PS3 is a piece of shit, the iPhone is amazing, but you know, that's all subjective.
It's relative.
Yeah,
you know,
it's your own opinion, and it just, I think it is the marketing is like everything. I mean,
yeah. Well, that's the thing, because it's like the phone I've got in my pocket, which is a Palm Treo 700W or whatever, so it's got Windows Mobile on it, it'll do everything that I've read that iPhone will do. I can play music on it, I can go on the internet, I can get my email, I can call people, I
can
look up phone numbers.
Can you be watching Pirates of the Caribbean and then turn it sideways and then... Oh, you see, the big feature touted for the iPhone is that you can watch YouTube videos on it.
Oh, wow.
Very
that's,
useful.
That's pretty damn cool. I never got the whole thing with the video iPod. I've seen them. And I even know a guy at work who's got one, and even he's like, it's stupid. He's like, I just got it to have all the storage space to be able to put a shitload of songs on it. He said the videos, you know, they're too damn small. It's
well,
like,
I think it'd be worth
$80
a month to have a cell phone that you can watch YouTube on, don't you?
Oh, God, yes. And that's the other thing, is the limitations, which I think we've talked about before, of how it's only AT&T that you can get for your service provider, which, of course, they don't have service everywhere. So there's all these people on the internet now that are like, oh, boo-hoo, I live in northern Wisconsin or wherever, and oh, no, I can't go out and spend $600 on this trinket. Oh, God. I can't wait till I move. I can't wait till I move to Minneapolis or something, so I can drop $600 and be able to use it. Oh my God! It's just a shame.
I don't want to look uncool to all my friends.
Yeah,
it's kind of like when people started getting tattoos to be like nonconformist, but then once everybody had one, getting a tattoo was conformist.
Yeah, and I read about these people buying like two at a time and stuff. I'm like, well, what are they doing with the second one? Because I went and looked on eBay today and. People are selling them for, like, $650. You know, it's not like they're making a shitload of money off of
them. Well, I don't think they sold out, though.
No, and that's, you know, part of the thing, but it's like, I don't know. It's just stupid. It's all hype, like everything else. I mean, I'm sure it's a decent enough device. You know, if you're somebody who's got the money to drop six bills on one of these things, I'm sure it'll probably work out nicely for you if you live in a large metropolitan area where you can get phone service and all that, then hey, you know, knock yourself out. But I think it's one of these things that it's just over-marketed, over-hyped, and it, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see how it pans out, because the whole thing with where they've got, like, the one button, it reminds me a lot of, like, I'm into cars and all that, and BMW has this thing that they put in pretty much all their cars now called the iDrive, and what it is, it's this dial that's down on the console, and you can turn it and move it forward and back and stuff, but you control, like, your air conditioning, your stereo, like, basically all the stuff that on most cars you have multiple buttons on the dash to control. You control it all with this one thing. And people, from what I've read online and all that, like, it seems like 80% of the people out there just hate it. They're like, you know, I don't mind having 15 buttons on my dash to do these
things.
Remember
those computer monitors you used to have, like, just one button or dial?
Mm-hmm. And it sucked.
Same kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's like, this, I could see this maybe being kind of a similar thing, depending on how well it's implemented.
Huh.
You know, it's like there's some people that love the iDrive, but the majority of people do not like it, and maybe it'll be the same with this, I don't know. Although, of course, the people that'll be getting this, they're kind of used to their iPods and things, which don't have much for buttons on them, of course, so I don't know. It'll be interesting. I could give less than a shit about it. I just think it's funny people are, you know, running around standing in line for a week to buy a fucking cell phone. In the end, what do you do with it? You call people.
That's true, and you know,
everything else
could
is
say
bells
is,
and whistles.
Why don't you just get like a $50 LG phone down at the store? That's like getting the Wii. Mm-hmm. It does what you need it to do.
Yeah.
Again, it's a double standard.
Yeah.
So.
Because it's like there's a lot of this stuff out there that can do these sorts of things, but it's like, do people really need it? You know, I don't know. I was on my way over here today, and I was sitting at the stoplight, and I wasn't even really looking to do this, but I just kind of looked over, and I noticed this car went by, person, cell phone pinned to their ear, next person, cell phone pinned to their ear, next one, like four straight cars, right in a row, coming through the turn.
Now, who are they talking to?
Cell phone pinned to their ears. Maybe they were talking to each other. I don't know.
I see more people. You think a person with a cell phone pinned to their ear at the grocery store would make more sense than someone on
yeah.
the road, but you see more people on the road mm-hmm. than people, and you very rarely.
It's very rare in the store.
But that So are they talking about the list on their way to the store?
I don't know. Maybe they're like, hey, I'm on the way to, you know, buy tickets for Transformers. Do you want
yes!
some? But yeah, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. It's
oh, didn't
funny
we
do,
yeah,
with
we
this
did
stuff.
A podcast where we complained about cell phones. Remember
yeah,
that?
We did, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see how the whole iPhone thing turns out. But it is interesting how there's this double standard. Because it's like, you know, I'd agree for me, I wouldn't spend $600 on a PS3 either, but I think the PS3 for $600 is much more reasonable than the iPhone. And it's not just because I'm not a big fan of Apple either. I mean, it's any of this stuff. Like, the phone I've got from work, that's like a $450 phone, and I think that's way too much money for what that is. And it
well,
runs Windows
for
Mobile
like,
and everything.
That can get destroyed.
Yeah.
I mean, my cell phone's all beat up, and I'm not even like a cell phone person, but it just gets beat up, you know, because it's...
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose these people with their iPhones will have, like, you know, faux rabbit fur cases that they'll slide it out of
oh,
and titanium
God.
Backpacks and all this jazz. I mean, look, it looks like it turned into a smudge factory, much like the overpriced PS3.
Yeah.
I mean, why can't the iPhone be overpriced? How come...
Yeah, why is it okay for it to be the same price points that the PS3 was at?
Or not even... considering that, but why does no one call it overpriced? I just don't get it.
Well, yeah, actually, if you look at it, like, you know, compare it to my phone. My phone's $450.
I guess it's all marketing, I guess.
Yeah, you know, and now granted, my phone does not have a hard drive in it. I'll give it that. You can buy the SD cards to stick in it for memory and things like
that. The iPhone
or I shouldn't say hard drive, but, like, it comes with memory in it.
Yeah.
Where my phone just has a very scant amount of memory that it comes with. But, yeah, it's interesting because, you know, then you can buy Blackberries for, like, $300. It's not hard to find one for that. You know, it's half the freaking price or $200 less than the cheaper one, and it does all that shit. And you can get enterprise email with it for those of you who work. So, and need to get to your work email, but, yeah.
Oh, I've got another one. Only Xbox or PS3 would be stupid enough to release two SKUs of the same product. This will confuse the hell out of consumers, unless you're Apple.
Yeah, then it's okay.
Well, like, what's the difference? Like, 4 gigs versus 8 gigs?
Yeah, that's... I think that's the only difference between them. I don't think there's anything else functionality-wise.
Did you know 4 gigs of flash memory cost $100? Just go to Tiger Direct and see.
You mean 4 megs?
Megs. I said gigs.
I'm just messing with you.